This recording, South Africa 44, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job in a superb private practice in the Northern Square near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer to her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in a mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put a plain yellow dress and fleecy jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel very sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, comma, comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered either. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Grassy Park. My parents lived in Lavendale at the time. We moved to Mitchell's Plain. I lived there until the age of 16, and from there I got married, and I've been on my own ever since. I've got 5 boys. Oh, I went to school at Imperial Primary, and then obviously Beacon Hill High. And yeah, I didn't study further. My parents didn't have enough money, so my parents are suffering, and there was a lot of, yeah, we had quite a hard upbringing. I mean, I turned out okay, and my family's okay, I think. And it's quite an experience to grow up like that, but I mean, you know, it's what you make of your life, and you know, the choices that you make. I mean, I didn't get to finish school, but I set goals for myself, and alhamdulillah, I think I did very well for myself until I met my husband, of course, and then life just turned for the better. The fact that I just hated struggling, I hated being unhappy, I hated the environment that I grew up, and I always just looked at other people and their happiness. They look so happy from afar, you know, and I mean, I'm sorry, it's going to sound very weird. But, you know, my mom used to do cleaning at the time, the whites. And she would, like, trot us along and whatever just to make it easier for her because, I mean, she worked as well. And then we would go with her, and I always just admire these people and the way that they lived and how soft and gentle they were to their kids and whatever. And I just said to myself, you know what, it's not that you want to copy or mimic other people. This is just what I want for myself. And if I ever had to have a family, I would never let my children suffer. I didn't get the chance at an education, but that is something that I'm very strict about when it comes to my kids. I would rather live like a hermit, but I would want the best for them as far as the education is concerned. I don't need a lot of money, but I want my kids to be educated. Yeah, it was quite hectic. I mean, because you saw the abuse everywhere. My eldest brother passed away because he also belonged to a gang. And, yeah, he was assassinated by his own because he wanted to leave. For me, it was just a matter of just pulling my act together and just making things happen for myself. I didn't depend on anybody for anything. I must tell you, it was hard. After my first marriage, this is my second marriage, I was married to Dal's father for 3 years. Yeah. She didn't work out, but I literally went and I looked for the lowest paying job because of my no education background. And I ended up having to see to myself, my child, and I literally just earned enough to pay my rent. I didn't go back to my parents because I vowed when I got married and I had my child, I would never, ever, ever let my child grow up in that area. Never. But I grew up in Mitchell's Plain, and I mean, Mitchell's Plain is just as bad as Lavendale, I must tell you. Now even more. Because, I mean, we grew up with gangsters. At the time, I didn't even know that the lady that was looking after me was the sister of one of the major gangsters. I don't even think my parents knew. She was just so kind. I swear to you, she was just so kind, and you wouldn't say. But yeah, you just don't show fear. That is my motto.